Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine-Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Social Psychology and Human Nature is a college-level textbook on social psychology associated with Roy F. Baumeister and commonly published in editions co-authored with Brad J. Bushman. It presents social behavior as the product of human nature interacting with culture, immediate situations, and learned social practices. Rather than treating social psychology as a loose collection of findings, the book organizes the field around recurring questions about the self, social influence, relationships, aggression, sexuality, morality, and meaning. Its purpose is instructional to introduce students to major theories, research methods, and empirical findings while showing why ordinary social behavior often follows recognizable psychological patterns. The MindTap course list edition reflects its use in structured academic courses where digital learning tools may accompany the textbook. The book is best understood as a research-based survey that emphasizes explanation over anecdote, linking laboratory and field research to everyday decisions, group life, and interpersonal conduct. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, human nature as a bridge between evolutionary motives and cultural rules. A defining feature of the book is its effort to explain social psychology through human nature without reducing behavior to biology alone. Baumeister treats people as organisms with evolved needs, capacities, and vulnerabilities, but also as cultural beings whose actions are shaped by language, norms, institutions, and shared meanings. This framework helps explain why some social patterns appear widely across societies while still taking different forms in particular cultures. For example, people generally seek belonging, status, intimacy, and control, yet cultures define acceptable ways to pursue these goals. The book's value lies in showing that nature and culture are not rival explanations. Human beings evolve to live in groups, learn social expectations, and regulate impulses in ways that make coordinated life possible. This approach gives students a broad organizing principle for topics that might otherwise seem unrelated, such as conformity, gender roles, morality, cooperation, and conflict. It also encourages caution against overly simple explanations. A behavior may reflect immediate social pressure, long-term learning, evolved motivation, and cultural meaning at the same time. Secondly, the self as both inner identity and social tool. The book gives substantial attention to the self, not merely as private self-awareness, but as a practical system for navigating social life. In social psychology, the self includes self-concept, self-esteem, identity, self-presentation, and the ability to reflect on one's own behavior. Baumeister's perspective is especially relevant because much of his scholarly work addresses selfhood, self-control, and meaning. The textbook presents the self as partly constructed through interaction people learn, who they are by comparing themselves with others, receiving feedback, occupying social roles, and managing the impressions they create. At the same time, the self allows people to plan, choose, and maintain continuity across situations. This dual role matters because self-knowledge is not always accurate or neutral. People may project favorable views of themselves, interpret events in self-serving ways, or alter behavior to gain acceptance. The book therefore treats the self as psychologically useful, but also fallible. Students can use this framework to understand why identity is socially responsive, why self-esteem is influenced by relationships and achievement, and why self-presentation is a normal part of social behavior rather than simple dishonesty. Thirdly, self-regulation, impulse control, and the limits of conscious control. Self-regulation is one of the book's most important themes because it connects personal agency with social functioning. Human beings often need to restrain immediate impulses in order to meet long-term goals, preserve relationships, follow rules, or avoid harm. The textbook explains self-control as a psychological capacity that enables people to regulate emotion, attention, behavior, and desire. This theme is closely linked to Baumeister's broader research interests, including the tension between automatic reactions and deliberate control. The book does not portray conscious thought as all-powerful. Instead, it emphasizes that much social behavior is influenced by habits, emotions, cues, and automatic processes before reflective reasoning fully begins. Conscious control still matters because people can plan, reinterpret situations, set goals, and inhibit responses, but those efforts require attention and may fail under stress, fatigue, temptation, or strong emotion. This approach is useful because it avoids both extremes. People are not simply rational decision makers, but neither are they passive products of circumstance. Social life depends heavily on the imperfect ability to regulate the self in the presence of other people. Fourthly, belonging, rejection, and relationships as central social motives. The book places interpersonal connection near the center of human social life. Belonging is treated not as a luxury, but as a basic motive that influences emotion, cognition, behavior, and well-being. This emphasis reflects a major line of social psychological thought associated with Baumeister people are strongly motivated to form and maintain stable, meaningful relationships. The textbook connects this motive to attraction, love, friendship, group membership, exclusion, loneliness, and rejection. A key implication is that social acceptance and rejection can shape behavior in powerful ways. People may conform, help, compete, withdraw, or become hostile depending on how secure their social bonds feel. The book also helps explain why relationships require more than positive feeling. They depend on norms of reciprocity, communication, commitment, trust, and conflict management. By treating relationships as both emotionally important and socially structured, the text avoids a purely romantic or individualistic view of connection. It shows that human beings need other people for identity, support, meaning, and regulation, but that those same relationships can create vulnerability, obligation, conflict, and pressure. Lastly, aggression, sexuality, and moral behavior explained through social context, the book's treatment of socially charged topics such as aggression, sexuality, prejudice, and moral conduct demonstrates its broader method behavior is explained through an interaction of motives, situations, norms, and interpretation. Aggression is not presented as a single instinct or as merely learned behavior. Instead, it can arise from frustration, threat, provocation, social modeling, group processes, cultural scripts, and failures of self-control. Sexual behavior is likewise approached as both biological and social, involving desire, mating motives, gender expectations, intimacy, norms, and regulation. These topics show why social psychology is particularly useful for understanding conduct that is morally important and publicly debated. The book encourages students to examine what conditions increase or reduce harmful behavior, rather than relying only on blame or common sense. It also links morality to social life by showing how norms, empathy, reputation, responsibility, and group membership influence what people consider right or wrong. This perspective does not excuse destructive behavior, but it makes it more intelligible and therefore more open to prevention, education, and institutional design. In conclusion, social psychology and human nature is best suited for graduate students needing a broad refresher, instructors designing social psychology courses, and readers who want a systematic research-based account rather than a popularized overview. Its practical benefit is that it gives readers conceptual tools for interpreting everyday behavior, why people conform, why rejection hurts, why self-control fails, why identity is socially shaped, and why aggression or cooperation depends heavily on context. Its intellectual benefit is broader. The book helps students think like social psychologists by connecting theory, evidence, and application while repeatedly asking how human nature operates within cultural life. Compared with many introductory social psychology texts, it stands out for the explicit organizing emphasis on human nature and for the integration of self-regulation, belonging, meaning, aggression, and sexuality into a coherent account of social behavior. It is not designed as light reading, and casual readers may find its textbook density demanding. However, that density is also its strength for academic use. It offers breadth without abandoning explanatory structure, making it valuable for readers who want to understand not just what social psychologists have found, but why those findings matter for human social life. If you would like to support Roy F. Baumeister, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.